I may not be able to do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, that I will do.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
It's a new era in America, one where your Christianity is not welcome.
That's part of what the SPLC is trying to do, is force us to take our faith and our constitutional right under the First Amendment and keep it inside the church.
How as Christians do we face the many challenges before us? How do we live in such a way as to transform the nation?
Our ultimate allegiance is to God, not the state. And that is a direct threat to these statists and these fascists.
Join us on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. There has never been a time in America where the things we believe as Christians face more hostility from the media, from academia, and many in government. Yet as the Apostle Paul explained to the Athenians, God has marked out our appointed time in history and the boundaries of our lands. God has placed you and me right here, right now, for such a time as this. On today's program, we'll discover how we must conduct ourselves in order to see our nation transformed. And we'll share some vital new resources that will help you do that. As we begin, there is a growing suppression of Christian and conservative speech in America. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb takes a closer look.
Journalism watchdog Pointer now forced to scrap their list of unreliable news sources because, as it turns out, the list wasn't reliable. Backlash grew as several conservative websites were mistakenly targeted, and Pointer took down the list, replacing it with an apology.
Recently, the Pointer Institute, a supposedly neutral media watchdog group, published and then pulled a list of 515 websites that allegedly produce fake news. Among the groups listed were conservative websites like the Heritage Foundation, Newsmax, and the Media Research Center. The list was, not surprisingly, compiled by an employee of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which compiles lists and maps of supposed hate groups.
You could go out and start your own hate list tomorrow. And you could target people or organizations that you don't like, and you could publish a hate list. And you could put it on the internet. And you could send out email and mail outs on that, but it's not a legitimate list. But that's exactly what the Southern Poverty Law Center has done.
No, there's no question about it. The Southern Poverty Law Center is a scam. It's a scam. It's a dangerous scam, but it's a scam.
There's no legitimacy to the hate map to begin with. As an organization that started out as a civil rights organization, there was probably a time when they did some good things in defending minorities, particularly blacks down in Alabama there where they are headquartered. But Morris Dees was a master at direct mail and other types of fundraising, and he applied that to the Southern Poverty Law Center, and now they're fleecing people.
Morris Dees was the founder and a longtime key player in the Southern Poverty Law Center based in Montgomery, Alabama, from 1971 until just a couple of months ago when he was forced to resign, reportedly for alleged sexual harassment and other issues.
They're just fleecing people that don't realize that they've moved a long ways from where they were in terms of being focused on civil rights. They make a lot of money. They got $432 million in their coffers. Much of it is in offshore accounts. And they continue today to fleece people, but the legitimacy of their hate map has been proven to be absolutely non-existent.
the Southern Poverty Law Center has stashed hundreds of thousands of dollars in Caribbean bank accounts. This is how concerned they are about poverty. In the last year that they filed their 990, not one dime was given for grants. Not one dime went to help any poverty program anywhere in the country. And their hate map is it's a cash cow for them.
It's amazing to think that organizations that hold to traditional biblical morality or who sound the alarm on radical Islam are mixed in on the SPLC's hate map with the KKK or skinheads. But some groups, including this ministry, are beginning to fight back.
Now to the Southern Poverty Law Center, a left-wing attack group masquerading as a civil rights organization. They professionally slur mainstream conservatives and Christians, calling them all kinds of names. So you won't be surprised to learn, and by the way, names that are taken up by the rest of the press and reported as fact, you won't be surprised to learn that a Florida-based Christian missionary group named D. James Kennedy Ministries made their list of hate groups. Unlike so many that have been tarred this way, they are fighting back. They've sued the SPLC for defamation. They've lumped you in to a category as a hate group. What effect has this had on your ministry?
Well, first of all, it's not a lot of fun to have your name listed right alongside neo-Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan and skinheads. It's a label that they use to try to silence your viewpoint.
D. James Kennedy Ministries' lawsuit against the SPLC for slander is still working its way through the federal courts. As has been said, the wheels of justice grind slowly but surely. Since the recent resignation of Morris Dees and the forced ouster of SPLC President Richard Cohen, a lot of disturbing reports on the liberal group have been reported, even among liberal media sources, like an article by a former SPLC employee in The New Yorker. He tells, for example, how employees would walk past the words from Amos chapter 5 and used by Martin Luther King Jr. etched in marble at the SPLC, and they would mockingly change the words to "until justice rolls down like dollars." Ultimately, critics note, the SPLC is trying to keep Christians from impacting the public square.
Hitler obviously went to the churches and said, you can worship, but you worship in the church. Don't bring it in the public square. And that's part of what the SPLC is trying to do, is force us to take our faith and our constitutional right under the First Amendment and keep it inside the church, keep it inside our home, but not to speak, not to write, not to act in the public square, because they are very, very much an anti-Christian organization.
There are forces arrayed trying to silence Christian speech. But of course, God gets the truth out even when free speech is unwelcome. We can lament the current situation, but rather than cursing the darkness, perhaps we should shine a light. That was certainly the belief of Dr. D. James Kennedy. And I'm joined now by his daughter and my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad was such an optimist, but he was convinced we need to engage the culture, no matter what the response is.
You're exactly right, Frank, because he believed in a sovereign God who didn't place us here by accident. God's people have faced far more difficult times than we face, and we can learn from their example. In the Old Testament book of Esther, Haman devised a plot to exterminate all the Jews from the Persian Empire. But God had strategically placed Esther, one of his chosen people, to be queen over all the land. Knowing Haman's evil plot, Esther's uncle Mordecai urged her to act on behalf of the Jews, saying, "Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" We know that Esther did courageously act to save her people. Here's a rallying call from my dad for Christians to stand firm today based on this ancient example in this portion of his message, for such a time as this.
Esther, which is all of you ladies named Esther know, means star, and she was a star. First, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, it shows that we may fail God and our duty by doing or saying nothing. Or as St. Ambrose put it, not only for every idle word must man give an account, but for every idle silence. Why is it that on so many sides we are losing the cultural war? It's because of what they say and do, and because of what we don't say and do. We have been commanded to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature. All we have to do to disobey that is nothing. Say nothing, do nothing. And we are guilty, and we are the ones that by default have brought upon our land a flood of unbelief and wickedness. If Esther held her peace, the result would have been what? That all of the Jews would have been killed. No. If we altogether hold our peace, if we fail God by doing and saying nothing, then what will happen? There shall arise a large enlargement, deliverance, and help to the Jews from another source. God is sovereign. God's purposes will be done. And if not by us, then by others. Help, deliverance shall come from another source. Now there are some who will say, oh, well, that's good. I can sit back and forget about it. I don't have to worry about it anymore. God, just check me out. I'm not going to be involved. Well, before you vote yourself out of the game, let me continue. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Read 1 Corinthians 3, where it tells that because we have not served Christ as we should, that what we have done will be burnt up and we shall suffer the loss of those rewards which God would be pleased to give to us eternally. Every sin involves our loss. In this case, but thou and thy father's household shall be destroyed. And lastly, every opportunity in this life must be perceived as a call from God. What a great statement this is. When he says to her, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Why were you born? Why were you born again? Why were you brought into the kingdom of God at this time? For what reason? For Esther, it was a great crisis for her people. We live in a time of crisis. We, without doubt, are in the midst of a great cultural, spiritual war where the forces of darkness are attempting to overwhelm the forces of light and virtue. I believe that it is very possible that if American Christians will wake up, get out of the bleachers and down on the playing field and get involved, that we can turn this country around. I may not be able to do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, that I will do. The sin of doing nothing at all. That is the great sin of the Christian church. Who knows why thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Think about it. And do something.
Dr. Kennedy has given us a strong charge to take our faith out into the world around us, and it's more needed than ever. Everywhere we look, we see roadblocks set up by the postmodern left who preach tolerance but practice censorship and authoritarianism. Dr. Richard Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, is a stalwart Christian educator and thinker. He gives us much needed insight into navigating the increasingly hostile environment in which we find ourselves. He recently talked with our own John Rabe.
The Equality Act is a bill that's before Congress right now that would amend the 1964 Civil Rights Act to include things like transgenderism and same-sex orientation. A lot of people think, well, that sounds good. We're just protecting people. Why is that particularly dangerous and dangerous to Christians?
Many of us knew that once the Marriage Act was upheld by the Supreme Court. It had nothing to do with the Constitution, according to Chief Justice Roberts, but five lawyers imposing their opinion. Once that happened, that made the Colorado Baker and all the other things happen. Once you do that, then you put you have to prove you're not discriminating. And you know, they say that we're not scientific because we have doubts about the extent of global warming. Well, how about unscientific when you start saying that you can change your gender? You know, human beings are two sexes, and you've either got the chromosomes of a male or the chromosomes of a female, and to deny that is to deny basic reality. And to put people who have what used to be called and should be called gender dysphoria under a protected class, and to say that if you discriminate, if you say no, that you're not a different sex than you were born, that you are discriminating, and we're going to open up all the restrooms and all the other facilities to be in a protected status for this, it's insanity. It's legal insanity.
It seems like, Dr. Land, one of the phenomena that we often see on the left is that they claim that they're only going this far when what we realize is that they really have an agenda that takes them much farther. We've seen that with same-sex marriage. No. This is not, we're not forcing anything on anyone. We just want people to be able to have rights. Transgender, we're not forcing anything on anyone. Ultimately, I remember the late Charles Krauthammer said, liberals don't care what you do as long as it's mandatory. Ultimately, there is no stopping at just one small group. They want to control everything, and they want to control the Christian reaction to everything, don't they?
They want to control speech. They're acting like fascists on campus and censors. They want conformity to their viewpoint, and they want to ostracize people who disagree with their viewpoint to the level of Klansmen. They want to turn us into the ostracized equivalent of Ku Klux Klansmen. And they want to, they don't believe in diversity of thought. They don't believe in diversity of speech. They want to use the power of the state as a club to enforce their conformity on society.
Let's talk a little bit about the rise of the new left, if you will, the new socialists in America. This used to be sort of a bad word in America, socialism, but why is it now so much more accepted to the point where politicians with a great amount of visibility feel comfortable and even feel it's a benefit to them to declare themselves socialists?
It's the product of this one-sided brainwashing education system masquerading as an education system. If you look at the polls, you'll see that most of the people who have a favorable opinion towards socialism are young. Socialism never works. You notice that people aren't trying to break down the doors to get into Venezuela. They're not trying to break down the doors to get into Cuba. There was an iron curtain not to keep Westerners out of Eastern Europe, but to keep Eastern Europeans in. The best critique I've ever heard of socialism was given by the incomparable Winston Churchill. He said, "The weakness of the capitalist system is that it inequitably distributes the fruits of its system. The weakness of the socialist system is that it equitably distributes the miseries of its system."
You can always count on Sir Winston. Dr. Land, your passionate clarity is always refreshing. Thank you so much for joining us, as always.
Always a delight to be with you.
As Dr. Land just shared, we face many challenges in our culture, from gender insanity to growing statism and socialism. This nation was founded upon freedom, which was built on a Christian framework. As that framework is systematically being dismantled by the left, so is our freedom. What kind of nation are we leaving to our children and grandchildren? How do we confront these challenges boldly and winsomely in order to reclaim that freedom? Find out in a brand new DVD program we've produced called Standing for Truth. In this DVD, you will hear from courageous Christians who have stood up against the secular forces that now seek to rule us in their godless image. And you will be encouraged to likewise stand for truth. It features Abby Johnson, the former Planned Parenthood clinic director, who is now helping people come out of the abortion industry and is the subject of the hit film Unplanned. It features a former Miss California, USA, who endured a firestorm of national controversy simply for declaring that she believed in traditional marriage. And we will hear from former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, who cheerfully battles for truth in the media and raised a daughter to do the same as President Trump's press secretary. And there's much, much more. We will send you the special DVD program, Standing for Truth, as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $60 or more, we will send you the DVD plus the brand new hardcover book that I've just written, which I've entitled Here We Stand, A Generational Call to the Radical Kingdom of God. I've poured my heart into this book, in which I share a plan to see our nation and our world one for Christ, and I give you biblical hope for the future. I truly believe we can see an outpouring of the Spirit of God upon America, and I share how in this vital new book, which I really view as an essential guidebook for the days in which we live. So please, contact us right away with a generous donation to help us continue standing for truth and defending your freedom. On the airwaves, in court against the anti-Christian Southern Poverty Law Center, and through many other projects. We will thank you by sending you the exclusive DVD program, Standing for Truth, featuring Abby Johnson, Mike Huckabee, Ambassador Sam Brownback, and many more, as our thanks for your donation of $60 or more. We will also include my just published hardcover book, Here We Stand, A Generational Call to the Radical Kingdom of God. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Recently in Canada, a father has been threatened with arrest after a Supreme Court justice there declared him to be guilty of family violence against his 14-year-old daughter. Of course, we all want to see domestic abusers brought to justice, so this should be good news, right? Well, not so fast. It turns out that the so-called violence the father committed against his daughter was insisting upon referring to her as she. You see, this girl, despite having been born as a girl with all the organs of a female, has decided that she's now a boy. And the Supreme Court of British Columbia has issued an order that the father will be subject to immediate arrest if police believe he has referred to his daughter in public or in private as a girl. Now, you may find that ridiculous. In fact, you should. But we must also note that the American left is bent on the same heavy-handed tactics, and we can expect similar cases in the U.S. soon enough. Guidelines in New York City already call for penalties of up to $250,000 for refusing to play along with someone's preferred pronouns, even when they conflict with that person's biological sex. Rest assured that the test will eventually come for each of us. We will be called to make a stand one way or the other. Will we cave under pressure to the fascist tactics of the totalitarian left? Or will we affirm in words and action, even in the face of penalty, the very basic biblical truth that God created them male and female? D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
American Christianity is absolutely being destroyed in our time. Nothing like this has ever happened in history. So quickly.
Think about that poor couple of people that are huddled together in some hut in a rural village, scared for their families, not for themselves, that they may be discovered here reading a Bible.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.